So today's daf is daf pei ches. We got to the bottom of pei zayin and beis of the two dots, and the Gemara had been analyzing different parts of the Mishnah, and the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah that says eid echad meida shehi pura. What happened was that she claimed her ksuba, she wanted to get paid her ksuba, and the eid echad said that you already got paid once before. So the halacha is the Mishnah tells us that she has to take a shvuah. Right, so again, the whole case was that the ksuba was worth 1,000. She says she received, I'm sorry, he says she received it already, and she says she received nothing, and the eid echad says you did receive it already, and she has to take a shvuah. The only way she could collect the ksuba is with a shvuah. So the Gemara says, now around 10 lines up or so, Savar Rami Bar Chama Lememar, Rami Bar Chama thought initially to say, shvuah deraisa, the shvuah that she has to take is a shvuah deraisa, dechsiv lo yakum eid echad v'ish l'chol avon l'chol chatas. So the pasuk tells us that one aid does not work against any person making a sin, causing him to pay any payments. So the Gemara's medayik, l'chol avon l'chol chatas hudeinu kam. The aid echad is not able to bring a person to an avon or to a chatas, bringing a carbon or making any form of payment or any punishment. Aval, but the diik is, the implication is, kam hu bil shua. An aid echad can force somebody to take a shua. V'amar mar. And the klal is, anytime two edim could bring someone to payment, one is enough to just mechayv a shvua and let them off the hook. So from this, Rami Bar Chama wanted to say, this shvua that she's taking because of the eid echad is a shvua d'araisa. So it comes along, Amar Rava. Rava says, shtei shuvas b'davar. I have two questions. We saw the some similar structure earlier yesterday's daf. Chada d'chal nishban shebetar nishban lo mishalman. Number one is that all shvuas in the Torah is usually a shvua where a person is off the hook, like a shomer chinam or a modu mixas. They take a shvua and they're potter from paying. This situation is a nishpas. No less, she's taking the shvua and she's trying to take. So this does not fit into the general category, the general understanding of a shvua mederaisa. That's his first question. Question two he had on Rami Bar Chama is ve'od ein nishban al kfir shibur karkos. A shvua is no chiv deraisa shvua at all. One when there's a, we're dealing with karkos, and this situation is a shibur karka, the ksuba, there's a lien on the karka, so it's shibur karkos, and we don't take shuas on shibur karkos. So how could Rami Bar Chama actually suggest the shua that she would have to take here from the eid echad is a shua deraisa? So for those reasons, Rava concludes differently. Ela amar Rava midrabanan kidei lahapis daito shabal. The only reason why they instituted shua was to appease the Baal. The Baal was obviously very upset, so she has to take a shua in order for her to take to collect from the ksuba, but it's only a shvua midirabanim. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rapapa, Rapapa going on to now Pes Ches. Rapapa says, Ipi Keachu, if the husband's an intelligent individual, he's wise, so Maisi La Lide Shvua Deraisa. What he should do is, he should somehow force her into a shvua deraisa. Why, what's the difference? She takes a shvua midiran, shvua deraisa, what's going to be the difference? Says Rashi in the top here, Lide Shvua Deraisa, Shehi B'Shem O B'Kinoi. When it comes to Shvua Deraisa, you have to use Shem Hashem or some other nickname of Hashem, one of the other names. The Ochez Sefer Torah B'yado, and she also has to hold on to Sefer Torah, Kedamin B'Shvua, so Nikita Chefetz. The Chamura Hu Me'od, this is very, very serious, much more severe than a Shvua Medirbanon. Of Hashem Medirbanon, Kalal B'Alma Kein Shalano, it's less, it's a curse, that's all it is, it's simply a curse in her eyes. So Shvua Medirbanon is going to scare her and deter her away if she's not really telling the truth. So that's in his best interest to somehow bring her to the point of a Shvua Medirbanon. So how could you bring her to a shvua mederaisa? So there's a Tosos here which says a little bit differently what the difference between a shvua mederaisa and shvua mederbana. I'm not going to go through it, but there's certainly the severity of a shvua mederaisa is going to deter her if she's lying. A shvua mederbana in her eyes is no big deal, just a curse. I make a shvua mederbana, I get a little bit of a curse, not such a big deal. She's willing to take it even though she might be lying. So how in the world is he going to bring her about to a shvua mederaisa? It says the Gemara, the top of Peches, again, I pekeachava maisle de shvua mederaisa, the yohiv lo ksubasa, he should pay her the ksuba yet a second time. Again, assuming this is a second time, he thought there's never a first time, so it must be a first payment here. But I thought he claimed, he claimed he already paid her once before, right? He says she already did pay her. So yohiv lo ksuba pape chada sada, pay her yet a second time in front of a different eid echad. The samuch sadi kama asad basar, and put together, combine the two separate edim as two edim now as a unit. Umokim lehula hanech kamai b'milva, and say that the first time I paid you was actually in a milva, as a loan, and now you owe me money. I gave that first money I gave you in front of that eid echad was as a loan, you owe me. The second time that I'm paying now with this other eight echad is paying off the ksuba. So I paid your ksuba. Here's the eight echad. And the first eight echad, it's a little confusing how this works, what the havmina is. The Gemara is going to quickly reject this. But somehow you're going to bring these two eidim to say that she was paid a ksuba.
It's amazing that the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara is so confident that people are not going to transgress a shvu d'oraisa, that he's even willing to take more money out of his pocket to at least accomplish the shvu d'oraisa, where she could theoretically take a shvu d'oraisa that, oh, because the Gemara thinks that there's two eidim on one of it. What's her shvu d'oraisa going to even help on?
The shvu d'oraisa is going to say she now owes money. She owes a loan. Mm-hmm. I paid you your ksuba. Here's your ksuba. So there's your $1,000. But remember, 2 years ago, you took $1,000 as a loan from me. So now you're going to force to take a shvua that if you want to be exempt from paying me that loan, take the shvua to get yourself off from paying that loan.
Isn't there two eidim? Isn't that the point?
The two eidim are on the ksuba now. Now, the hamin is complicated because they're not really on the ksuba. One's on one payment, one's on the other payment. Mm-hmm. So, but let's just look at the Rashi. Maybe Rashi explains this Havamina a little bit. So Rashi says, let's take it from Samich Sada Kama Asada Basra. Says Rashi, Yavi es Shneim Yachad, bring both them Lebezdin. Shim Tichbor Yaidu Shneim and Shin is Kalak Subasa. If she denies it, so both of them are going to say, although it's different payments, they're both saying, no, she paid her Ksuba. Then, assuming they're not going to ask her the dates, ask the dates from the Edim, she paid the Ksuba. So two Edim are consistent that she was paid her Ksuba. So now what's going to happen is she's rejecting receiving payment. So that's what Gemara is going to quickly say. But now let's read the next Rashi. Moki lahanach kamai behalva. And then establish that the first time she received the ksuba was as a loan. Yitve'en piron harishon. Now he's going to claim from her. He's going to flip everything around and say, wait a second, you owe me money for paying double. I'm saying, I paid you double, rather. The yomer milvahei netzlecha. The first time I paid you was a loan. Sharei hezkabalt the ksuba seich shenis. You accepted it. I have my eight echad here. And eight echad beforehand. I only accepted this first, the second time rather. Ve'edachad meid arishona ika shvua deraisa nishbeis v'lo mishalemes vein kan shibud karkal shlo mikach ksuba tovas. So what's going to happen is, so she's going, he's assuming right now that she's going to admit to receive her payment the second time around. Meaning he's going to say, here's your payment, and here's one edachad that's going to support you. So we're assuming she's not going to deny the second payment. So now that case is done with. Now another eight echad is going to come from the woodworks and say, oh, wait a second. A year ago, you were given $1,000 from this guy, and I was alone. And now she has to take a shvua midaraisa, because she has a shvua to exempt herself from paying. So that's what the Gemara suggests. And the Gemara, it's a little tricky. The Gemara says, Maskev, the Gemara asks on the challenges, is Maskev, the Rav Shisha, four lines down, Braid Ravidi, Heyach samech sad the kama asad the baser. How in the world is this being set up? How can you take an eight echad about one payment and combine it with an eight echad from a different payment? You don't have two eidim here. And says Rashi. So what's the big deal? Heyach samech mashe raze lo raze. What this one saw, that one didn't see. Vim tichpor al shen. If she denies both of them, let's say she denies both of them. I didn't receive either one of them now. Ein kan ela eight echad v'tishpor v'titol shlishis v'nim tamapsid. So there's going to be eight echad about each individual payment. She's going to deny, I never received it a year ago. I didn't receive it yesterday. And I still want meksuba. And so she's going to take a shvua derbanan to collect a shvua. She's going to collect three times now. That's a tremendous risk. So that's not going to be what a pikeach would do.
Well, why wouldn't the Gemara suggest that he pays her the second time with two eidim?
Yeah, I think the Gemara ends up saying that. I think that's what he's going to say. I think we'll see. Okay. But right, if two aid him, then that would solve
second
everything.
Time, and then the first one now becomes involved with one aid. You know, they're not relying on
exactly.
Yes,
right. It seems to be a simple solution. Let's see if that's, yeah.
Yeah, the point I was trying to make before is that the Gemara, whatever you think the Gemara is saying, it seems to assume a person's more reluctant to make a shvu d'oraisa than he's even willing to run the risk of losing now extra.
But now I guess the Gemara is saying that's not the case. Right. He's not willing to lose a third payment. Mm. For this. That's what Rashi explains Peshat here.
But I don't think he was afraid of losing the second. He figured he was going to have to pay it anyway. She's going to deny the first one.
Uh-huh.
He'll take a shvur derabanan and say, give me... So he thinks I'm paying a second time.
Good point. Either way, he's paying this. So there's no risk on his part.
Yeah.
But now there's a risk because even the second one he could deny could turn into a third payment. So then there is risk, so he wouldn't risk himself for that. Okay. That's a good point. So then the Gemara suggests, Ela Amar Rav Shesha Braid the Rav Idi, Yahiv Lak Subasa Bape Sada Kama Vesada Basra. Take the first aid from the previous case, have a second aid, and have them both as two aidim. This is your suggestion. Rashi says it could be even two random aidim if you wanted, two aidim from the Shuk. Have two aidim set. Umokim Lalahanach Kamai Bahava. So pay her the ksuba, because as Harry said, he has to pay her anyways. Either way, either she's going to take the shuva incorrectly, or she's not, and he's going to have to pay. So, or if she doesn't take the shuva, either way, he assumes he's paying the second payment. So at least get two edim, have them witness this second ksuba, and then pull that first guy, that a year ago, that the husband lent her $1,000, and she would have to take a shuva midiraisa in that case. So, according to this, Maskev la Rav Ashi, Rashi challenges this approach, Akati yichol lemeimar, sheik ksubas hava. Maybe she could say there are two ksubas. There are situations where there's two ksubas written, not one ksuba plus a halva. That payment that he's referring to, that was a ksuba that you paid me. There were two separate ksubas. So Ella Amar of Ashi Hu Dimodalahu. So what does Hu Modalahu mean? So if you look at Rashi Dimodalahu, it's around halfway down the narrow lines in Rashi, Dimodalahu Lasad the Kama Ubasa Lufne Pira and Hasheni. He should let it be known to both Edim before they see the second payment. Du, no, he says to them, Shekvar parati lo ksuvasa b'fnei achar mikem vihi kafaris. The truth is, I already paid her off the ksuba in front of one of you here, and she's denying this. Vani wrote to the power sheinish l'shem ksuba, shehi li shnei Edim b'davar. I want to pay her a second time for the purpose of ksuba, even though I don't owe it, that there should be two Edim on the ksuba. Then I want to go ahead and be tovei the first ones, v'yeshli alein eidecha, which I have an eidechad on, v'tischayv shuva medraisa. V'chayv neshaminu, since they hear this, v'lo mesayilei hayed kama, since this first aid is not going to support her, say that, oh, it never happened, sulo matzis lemeimar sheik subos hava de milsa de lo shrichahu. So I guess when he tells her beforehand, he prefaces them and what's going on, and the Eidechad who saw the first one about the payment never said, wait a second, that never happened, what are you talking about? Since he was still standing by his words, willing to testify in the second case as well, tells us that what happened in the past was really that he paid the first ksuba. Now, I'm not really understanding this, to be honest, because they had a conversation on the side outside of Beis Din, and he prepped them, that's going to make the first one a ksuba, and he could do this trickery about the second ksuba. I'm not sure if the article has any input on this. But that's, I think, what Rashi's trying to get at. Uh-huh. So the way it's explaining a few extra words here, that the Edim are aware that the second payment is not for the purpose of ksubas. And it wasn't a case of second ksubos. Of two ksubas, rather. So since the Edim were aware of this in the first place, they knew what was behind this, and ksuba, straight ksubas is very l'shchiach, it's not common, so for those reasons it's hard for her to make a claim that they were actually straight ksubas. And that neutralizes that claim of hers. So it comes back, so now the Bezin understands what's going on here, so then they could say, okay, the second one will view as the collection of the ksuba, and the first one will revert into a milva. Which itself,
he's telling them, oh, the first one was not a ksuba.
Right.
So, she says it is, so why does the fact that he told them before the second one mean anything?
No, so I think it's only that, right, so she's claiming that there are steak subos, and he says there are not. So it ends up being, he told the Edom beforehand that I also know that, I know there were not two ksubos. So I'm against her. So me against her about Sheikh Subos, but on top of that, it's also Milsa de la Shrichi. So since it's so uncommon, that's going to knock out her claim. So now she can't claim Sheikh Subos. There's only one ksuba. So now which one's going to be Sheikh Subos? So we're going to assume the second one is the ksuba, which has two edim. And the first payment, he pulls out that edecha that she paid. Now I'm not sure why can't she turn around and say, wait a second. The first one, now she's stuck, I guess. She can't say the first one was a ksuba. She denies the first one. Okay, it's confusing. but that's what's going on now. Somehow, because it's Milsa del Shrichi, and he let it be known to the Edom before him, that neutralizes her attempt to say that there were actually Sheikh Suvos. Okay, there certainly are many other perushim of this sugya. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara and the two das. Yeah.
If you look at the last Rashi before this one.
Yeah.
It says one of the reasons why she could taina shteik suvos is because she has the aid Rishon being Messiah, this two peronos.
He sees both. And he's claiming.
Right. The only reason she has the koach in the first place, the taina shteik suvos, is because she has an aid that supports her saying he did see two payments for ksuba.
But she's denying receiving payment, though. Which is interesting.
In this case, no. Initially, she was going to deny receiving payment. But when they get into Beis Din, she doesn't deny receiving payment. She says she received it twice, and they were both for ksuba. He's creating this exposure, right? Because she never made a tain in Beis Din. He sort of sees what's coming down the tracks before they could do a shvu with the Rabbanan. He knows he could position her to have to make a shvu with the Raisa. And then when they formally go into Beis Din, she says an entirely different story.
She backs down. She says, I'm not collecting money anymore. I'm not paying money either. She says, you're right. There are two ksubos. This aid is my aid for that. And I received both. I don't owe any money. None of them is a milva. So she's changing her.
Right. But the only barash is the reason she has the koch to taina shteik suvos is because there's another person out there who now could work for her. He says, I was a party to two ksubos. I saw one given. I saw a second one given. They're both said b'shem ksuba. So he has to do this because that undermines the shteik suvos. On her own, she doesn't have that ability to just tiny shteik
suvos. I see. So that Eid Echad, who supposedly saw both ksubos, is not testifying on shteik suvos. He's testifying two payments. That's not supporting her claim. So since her whole basis is on this Eid Echad about shteik suvos, that no longer exists. Okay, very good. The Gemara now, the Tudat says, Minichasim Mishubadim. So if it's a situation of the Mishnah told us, Minichasim Mishubadim, where there's property that there's a lien on, so the case was that he had sold off the property to somebody else, and she wants to collect her ksuba from these lakuchas, because her lien, the ksuba, pre-existed the sale of the land, that the husband sold the land. So if she wants to collect such property, she has to take a shvuah. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hasim, the Mishnah tells us that appears in Masechta Shavuos, V'chein ha'yisomim lo yifru ela b'shvuah. Also, the yisomim should not pay, orphans should not pay unless it's with a shvuah. Now, we know that you can't pay from, you can't collect from a yasom, but here we're saying the yasomim do not pay themselves unless it's a shvuah. Miman, who are they, who are they paying from who? Am I getting the wrong, is it?
Because the orphans, they can only collect it with a shvuah.
They can collect, okay. So yasomim can only collect with a shvuah. So, miman, who are they collecting from? Ilema milova, if they're collecting from the lova, had the father been alive, the father would have just pulled out the shtar and collected the loan that he was owed. So without any shvuah, now that the father dies, the yisomim have to collect with the shvuah. That's not very fair to them. So just take out the shvuah, and the shvuah is a good enough raya. El hachikamar. What the mission shvuah means to say is, v'chein ha'yisomim mina yisomim. If orphans are collecting from other orphans, lo yifru ela b'shvuah, then they would have to take a shvuah. Because normally the halacha is that any person who collects from yisomim always has to take a shvuah. But maybe, I guess, the havamin is, since it's yisomim who are collecting from other yisomim, maybe the orphans wouldn't have to take a shua, even though they are collecting from other yisomim. So, Amar Bezrika, Amar Rav Yehuda, lo shanu ela shamu yisomim. It's only true that they have to collect with a shua is if the yisomim's taina is, they said as follows, Amar lanu abba, our father told us, levisi uparati, that I borrowed and I paid back. That the yisomim who are being collected from, they said, the debt was already paid off, my father told us. And then you have to take, so they're saying one thing. The other, some who are collecting, said, no, you still owe us the money. So then you have to take a shua to collect the money. Aval amru, but if the yisomim who say, amru lanu abba lo livisi, if they say, nothing happened at all, my father never borrowed from you, what are you talking about? Then even with the shua, the yisomim collecting the money don't have to pay, because since the yisomim who are supposed to be paying are denying everything entirely, there's no rejection, there's no need for shua. So why is that? So if you look at Rashi, lo shanu, Rashi around 8 narrow lines up, lo shanu dechim mishtabe shakli, when is it true that they can only collect from the other yisomim if they have a shua? Shamu yisomim shalova lavisi parati, that they deny everything. They said, my father borrowed, but he paid off the money. Yishbu elu shvua shlo pekadanu, they have to take a shvua. Lo amr lanu abba, lo matzinu shover, ben sharos av shesharza peruvanolun. They have to take a shvua that, no, it was never true. We never paid up for this. There's no shover, there's no receipt, there's no nothing. You still owe us the money. But in the other case, again, if they deny everything, that there's never a loan in the first place, then they could even collect. They have a shtar right now. The collectors have a shtar. How could they deny the shtar? Entirely, it's clear. If they say there was a shtar, you're right, but it was paid, so then that's a better claim. But if they deny everything, so the shtar goes against what they're saying, so then they're allowed to collect from the Yishomim even without a shvua. So asks the Gemara, Maskula Rava, Adarav, the opposite's the case. Because Kol Omer Lo Lavisi, anybody who says, I didn't borrow, Komer Lo Parati Dami. It's as if they said, I didn't pay. And therefore what? And Rashi says, Komer Lo Parati Dami, the Chemin Damar Lo Lava Modehu, Shilopara, Harishar Mochiachalav Shilava. I thought that was the explanation of why they don't take a shua. Oh, maybe the point was they can't even collect. Even with the shua, it's not going to help. Ah, okay, that's the Havmin was that if they deny everything, the Yisomim, they deny ever having a halva here, then even if the other Yisomim take a shua, they can't collect at all. And then Rabbi said, what do you mean? If they deny the loan, the shtar is clearly going against what they're saying. And then, of course, the Yisomim could collect from the other Yisomim. So Ella Yitmar Hachimar. If you want to say it, the distinction should be as follows. Amar Rabbi Zvika, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Shanu, Ella Shamu Yisomim. It's only a case, when do the Yisomim have to take a shuot to collect from the other Yisomim? It's only when they say, Amar Lanu Abel Avisi Parati. When they said, oh, our father, before he died, told us he borrowed from you, but he also told us he paid you back. You want to collect the money? Take a shuot. Avah, but Amru, but if the Yisomim say, Amar Lanu Abel Lo Lavisi, that our father told us he didn't borrow from you guys, and look out for them if they try to make a taina, but he never borrowed from you. They deny everything. Then the halacha is nifra and shel b'shvua. Then they could collect without even a shvua. Shekola omer lo lavisi komer lo parati dami. Anybody who denies the loan in the first place, and there's a shtar saying that there was a loan, it's as if they said they never paid it up, and they're being moda that they owe money, and the yisomim collect from the other yisomim without having to take any shvua. In next case, the Gemara analyzes the next Mishnah, next part of the Mishnah, Nifrash lo b'fanav lo tifra el b'shvua. So let's say we said the Mishnah told us that the husband went overseas and she wants to collect her ksuba, so she's only allowed to collect the ksuba if she takes a shvua. So Amar Rav Acha Sar Habir, that was his name, part of his name, I guess is, Rashi says is Kach Kino, that's how they called him. Ma'isa Balafnei Rabbi Yitzchak, there's once a story that happened to Rabbi Yitzchak be'an Tuchia, a certain place. V'amar, and he said, Lo shanu ela l'ksubas isha mishim chinam. This halacha about collecting payment from the debt is only by iksuba, no other chov, aval ba'al chov lo, but not when it comes to ba'al chov. Why? Because we keep seeing this from mishim chinam, that we want to try to entice her from getting married to him. So one of her benefits are that she's allowed to collect from the ksuba. If her husband's overseas, she needs the money, she could take a shvua to collect the ksuba. That's an advantage she has. So for those reasons, we gave her that ability to take a shvua when he's not around. But by a chov, there's no need to have the person says, listen, so-and-so owes me money, he's not around, I need the money back, take a shvua. It didn't apply to a ba'al chov, because there's no real, again, he needs the money, but it wasn't enough reason for them to allow to collect with the shvua, shelo b'fanav. That's all according to the first opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. But Rav Amar, Rav Nachman, afil ba'al chov, also, even a ba'al chov, the malve is allowed to collect the chov even if he's not around. Why? What's going to happen is the guy's going to borrow money from someone, go overseas, you know, and can't be found by the malve and avoid payment. And the malve is going to say, the bank's going to say, I'm not going to pay these guys anymore because they keep playing tricks on me. So we don't want that to happen. We can't shut down loans. Loans are very important for society, for people, and for businesses. So we have to give the banks and the malve the upper hand that they could collect. If they're not to be found, they could take a shvua, and someone could go down to this person's property and collect the money even if they're not around. Okay. Then the Gemara finally understands the last part of the Mishnah, which we didn't quite understand. The Rashi alluded to us that it's going to be discussed on today's daf, that Rabbi Shimon Omer calls Manshu Tavas Ksubasa V'chule. So we have to understand Rabbi Shimon's position for a second. So Rabbi Shimon told us at the end of the Mishnah, on the top of Pezayim Abayz, that calls Manshu Tavas Ksubasa, as long as she, or whenever she would claim a Ksuba, Hayorshin Mashbin Osa. So the Yorshin of the husband now can make her take a Shvua that she never collected payment. Vim eino tavas, if she's not being tavei ksubasa, eino yorshin mashminosa, then the yorshin of the husband, or the ex-husband, cannot make her take a shvua. That's what the Rabbi Shimon said, but it's unclear what case is he referring to here. So the Gemara is going to hopefully explain all of this. So Rabbi Shimon, ahai, which line of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon referring to? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, aha, on the following. The Mishnah told us, v'nifras shelo b'fanav lo tifra el b'shvua, that if she wants to collect payment and the husband's overseas, she could take a shvua and collect the payment of the ksuba. Lo shna le mezone lo shna le ksubasa. What was the need for the payment? Whether she needs to be paid, she needs money from mezone, she needs to be fed, or she needs to collect the ksuba, she has the right to do that. Rashi just says here, Rashi, see, first wide line down, lo shana le mezone, ba le bezdin, she comes to bezdin, v'tovas mezone, s'minichse baila, limchor karka, v'zona, nishpe shalo haniach, b'yoda mos lizon mehen. My husband's overseas, I have nothing to eat. Please sell some property. I need to eat here. So she has to take a shrua that she has no money in her hand to work with, and then we could go ahead and start selling off his property. Loshen of Luxuvasa says Rashi, im shalach la get. So they're married beforehand. Overseas, he sends her off a get. Now she's stuck, and she has no payment, at least giving back ksuba. So she takes a shrua that she never received any ksuba yet. So that's what Rabbi Shimon's referring to. Back to the Gemara. And on that, V'os Rabbi Shimon Lemeimer comes along Rabbi Shimon to say, whenever she claims a ksuba, in either of those cases, the yersheha, or rather, if it's the case of ksuvasa, only if she's claiming the husband sends her the get overseas, so she wants to collect the ksuba, the yershim of the father, make her take a shvua. Rashi just says, the last Rashi on the page, was that the one we want? Something that order, actually, I think. Yeah.
Tishba B'Sof is already from that point forth, is the next summit.
Okay. Fine. So we might have to hold our finger on this previous Amud. But so they could force her to take a shvua that she never received the ksuba as of yet. Now going on to Amud Beis now, in the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Eina Tavas Ksuba, so if she's not claiming her ksuba, then in Yerushim Mashbinosa, then the Yerushim are not going to be Mashbinosa. And what's machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama? The kamiflagi bepluksa dechanan v'nei kohanim gedolim. There's a machlokas that we find in the Mishnah later on in Ksubas itself, actually, between chanan and b'nei kohanim. What's the machlokas? The tanan mi shehalach lemedinas hayam. A husband goes overseas v'ishto tavas mizonos and she needs food. Chanan omer tishba b'sof v'lo tishba b'tchila. She's hungry. We feed her right away. No one claims food unless they're really hungry. And at the end, she'll take a shuva how much she took. But nechleku alav bnei kohanim gedolim v'amu tishba b'tchila ubasof. She needs to take two shvus, one in the beginning that she wasn't, she had not received payment yet, and one at the end that she, how much she took, I guess. So if you look at Rashi in the previous pages for a second, Rashi says tishba b'sof. So Chanan said she only has to take a shvu at the end. Kishet tis alman, oh tiskaris, when she becomes widowed or divorced, v'tisva ksuva, she collects her ksuba at the end, tishba shlo ikva b'yada misha baila klum. She has to take a shvua that she didn't receive any payment from the ksuba. B'tchila b'pisik mizonos, in the beginning when she's receiving payment. So Chanan says she does not have to take a shvua about collecting mizonos. It's only at the end, meaning the end, what end means not the end when she takes all her mizonos. The end means when their marriage is over. Either he died or he divorced her. Then she has to take a shvua about ksuba. Only by ksubas, but not by mizonos. But the Kohanim Gedolim thinks even in the beginning, even when they're married, to take mizonos and he's overseas, even then she has to take a shvua. So that's exactly the machlokas that was just presented between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Does she have to take a shvua on mizonos also? Or Rabbi Shimon says only in a ksuba does she take a ksuba, take a shvua, but not in mizonos. And that's what the Gemara says, that Rabbi Shimon kichanan, that only on basof, only in a ksuba does she take a shvua, but not on mizonos. Rabban kivnei kohanim gedolim, that even on mizonos, even betchila, she would have to take a shvua to collect mizonos. That the husband never left any money in her hand when he went overseas. So asks the Gemara, maskivla, Rav Sheshes, hi yorshin mashbinosa. Based in Mashbinosa Mibarle. The Yorushin are not going to force her to take the Shrua. It's really based in that would force her to take the Shrua. Right, if you look at Rashi, Rashi just says very simply in the previous page, he says around eight lines up, Hi Yorushin Vechule Bitimiya. Kevin da Nifrash Loba Funavkai. We're talking about a case where the husband's overseas. My Lashin Yorushin Khan, Harehu Kaim. The husband's alive still. So what are we talking about? How could Rabbi Shimon be referring to Yorushin are being mashmin hosa if the husband's still alive, if he's overseas. So it's Bezdin who would have to step in here and make them take the make her take the shvuah. So that can't be the machlokas that they're arguing about whether she could take a whether she has to take a shvuah on mizonos or not. And it's machlokas chanan and kohen gedolim. So it must be a different machlokas between Rabbi Shimon. He's referring to something else in the Mishnah. Ella, I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, "Aha." Rabbi Shimon is referring to a different line of the Mishnah, which is as follows: Halacha mekevret baila. She goes back. She just buried her husband. Her husband died, so now they're yorshim to talk about. She's returning back from the cemetery. The Beis Aviyah, she goes back to her father's home. Oh, shechazel the Beis Abdechameh, or goes back to her father-in-law's home. Lonasis apachapia, and she's not appointed to be, she was not an apachapia beforehand. Eino yorshin mashbinosa, there's nothing for the yorshin to make her make a shivuon. Imnasis apachapia, if she has become a apachapia, appointed to oversee and manage all the properties, then the yorshin mashbinosa al ha'asir levav, ein mashbinosa al ha'mashavar. That the Yorshin could force it to take a shvuah on any future dealings on the property, but may not force it to take a shvuah on anything that happened in the past. And on that, the also Rabbi Shimon comes along to say, Lameimar, Kozman Shotovas Ksubasa Yorshin Mashminosa, Ein Tavas Ksubasa Ein Ha Yorshin Mashminosa. Only in a case where she is claiming her ksuba can they force her to make a shvuah. But if she's not claiming her ksuba, then they may not force her to take a shvuah. Right, it's talking about, remember, that shvuas apotropia, that the husband had the ability, whenever he wanted, to always force to take a shvuah, make sure you're not taking any in your own pocket, you're not stealing anything in your pocket, you're not stealing from the grocery store or from the property. The husband was able to do that. So says the Tanna Kamma, even after death, the yorshin are allowed to force it to take such a shvuah. Says Rabbi Shimon, not true. The yorshin have to continue in the path of their father without the ability to take the children do not have that right to force her to take a shvuah as an apotropius. They only have the ability to make her take a shvuah on the ksuva. That's the machlokas between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon. And again, can the yorshin also make her take the shvuah as apotropia? And kamithagi, the Gemara continues to explain, kamithagi,
but they're making her swear. Once she's to obey the ksuva, aren't they making her swear on her apotropos dealings?
You understand it to be a Gilgal Shavuah?
I don't know if it's a Gilgal Shavuah, but it's like she wants to take money from them. She has to prove she hasn't taken anything from them once she was an apotropos. Like, it's almost part of the same thing. See that last Rashi?
Rishon says that if she claims the Asa Rabishon Lememar, the last Rashi in Amud Aleph, Im Tavask Subasa Yorshin Kmashbin Osa, if she's claiming her Ksuba, the Yorshin make her take a Shavuah. Shel ikva mishalahem, that she did not hold back any of their own of the estate, la'achem misazavian, after the death. Klum, kedin habalifara minichse yisomim, like anything, because she in essence is collecting money from the estate, from the yisomim's property. So she needs to take a shvuah like any other time you're collecting from the yisomim.
But the fact that he says la'achem misazavian, and the thing that changed la'achem misazavian was her appointment of apotropos. That's why I'm interpreting that to mean, what does it mean that she didn't take after Avi? She never got paid on this.
Well, the ksuba is only relevant after his death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not tied to the fact that she was appointed apotropos?
I didn't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. Let's read the Gemara, how the Gemara connects it to this other machlokas, see if maybe it will clear things up. So this machlokas, again, whether or not everyone agrees that the Yosomim, the Yorishim, could force her to take the Shua about the Ksuba, that she did not receive the Ksuba yet. But there's a machlokas whether or not they could also be mashabia her on any apachapa, any dealings with the property. So this is machlokas. The Gemara says, v'kamifagi, they're arguing about the pluksa d'abashol v'rabbanam. What's that machlokas? The Tana and the Mishnah tells us that apachapas, sheminei avi Yosomim, yishba, if the father had appointed apachapas to oversee the properties, to take care of his children and the money, then Yishba, then they could force him to take a shvuah. Like I said, he didn't hold anything back on his own. But Minu Bezdin, lo Yishba, but if Bezdin was the one who says, listen, these someone needs someone to oversee, they have such a large estate, no, someone needs to take care of it. If Bezdin is the one who appointed it, then there's no shvuah. Abashal, Amar, Chiluf, Devarim, it's the opposite. Minu Bezdin, Yishba, if the Bezdin is appointed to this person, then he take a shvuah. But if the father appointed them, then you don't take a shvuah. So, this machlokas, the Rashi doesn't tell us. I'm trying to remember what the svar was. But I think Abishol says, if the father appointed him, that means the father trusted him, and then the family trusted him. So it's not fair to have him take a shvuah. But Bezdin for appointed him, so there's no trust. They don't really know who this person is, so that you have to take them, give him, make him, they'd have to force him to take a shvuah. Now the position of the Tanakama is that I'm not sure the svar is here. Okay, let's see how this connects though. So the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon Kabashal Rabbanan Krabanan. So how does it all work out? There are no Rashi's here on this, right?
Yeah, the top Rashi. The top Rashi is going back on the prior statement, and also is going to explain to how it's tied to this machlokas.
Okay, so let's see. Eina tavask subasa eina yershin mishpinosa. Mishim shuas apotropsa. The havila apotropis sheminu avi yisomim. It was appointed by the father. Visfirle lo yishba ka abashol. And they hold like abashol that if it's appointed by the father, that then there is no shvuah.
Shvuah apotropis, that's what Rashi says. This is from Rabbi Shimon, Rashi's talking right now.
But Rabbi Shimon holds like Abishol.
Right.
So now really they are talking about, the shvuah is shvuah apotropis now, between Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama. Can they force them to take a shvuah apotropis? So Rabbi Shimon holds that they cannot make them take a shvuah apotropis, because we're talking about a situation where the father had appointed the apotropis. Now, Abishol says when the father appoints apotropis, there is no shvuas apotropis. The Taimayo, Rashi explains here, Taimayo, what's the reason for Abishol? Mefarsh begin, he continues to explain, Beperka Nizakin, Rabban Savri Mineu Beisdin Lo Yishba. If Beisdin appoints him, there's no shvuah. Dim Kain, Mimnav Lo Havi Apotropis. If Beisdin wants me to oversee the property, they're going to make me take shvuas. I'm not going to, what's the gain for me? I'm not going to do this. Hold the Chashinale. They're choshing me. I don't want to be choshed by anybody. I want nothing to do with this if they're going to make me take shvuas. Aval Mineu Avi Yisomim, if the father appoints me, Lo Mimne, he's not going to refuse. The Lav Havali Hana Minei, Bechayav Lo Havi Minei. Like, so had, you know, me and this father had not had a relationship before, and he had not given me hana, I wouldn't be interested. He wouldn't have appointed me. So we have this ongoing relationship. So the fact that he's making me take shvuas, that doesn't bother me so much, because we have this ongoing relationship. That's the svara of the Rabbanim. The Abishol, Savar Mineu, Avi Yisomim, if the father appoints them, Iyada, Dimishbele, Mimne. If he knows, if he's going to force me to take a shvua, Mimne, Vlahavi, Apachapas, I wouldn't be the Apachapas. I don't mind taking the shvuah because I'm chashiv. I could wear that my little name tag, messenger of Bezdin. That's chashiv. I'm willing to take that shvuah if they want to make this take the shvuah just to be considered a part of the Bezdin. So that's the opposite svar. What comes out is here that the machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Shimon is, can the Yisomim force force the mother now, the widow, can they force the widow to take a shvuas apotropis? Tanakhama says they can. Rabbi Shimon says they cannot. Why? So it boils down to the machlokes of Abishol and the Rabbanim. That Abishol held that when apotropis is appointed by the father, in which case here too, the husband appointed her, his wife, as the apotropis, same idea, the Avi Yisomim appointed the apotropis. Abishol says you cannot force the apotropis appointed by the father to take a shvuah. And the reason is because he's going to refuse to be to have to take a shvuah. He's going to refuse being an apotropis. So don't make him take a shvuah. So Abishol links up with Shimon that the wife would not have to take a shvuah as apotropis.
According to Rabbi Shimon, when she ultimately is still there, ksuba though, he agrees mashpino, so
correct,
doesn't he?
By ksuba, but not by apotropis.
But not by apotropis.
Right. But Chachamim hold, or Rabbanan hold, like the Rabbanan by the case of Avi Yisomim. If the Avi Yisomim appoint the apotropis, then there would have to be a shvuah, because why? He says, I don't mind taking the shvuah, because he and I had this relationship. I had a lot of hanah from him. He helped me out with my business. I'm willing to be his apotropis for his family, and even though it means I'm taking a shvuah. So that's the Rabbanan here also in our Mishnah, that the wife is willing to take that shvuah. They're able to force her to take a shvuah, because she had a good relationship with her husband, and he trusted me, and he gave me a lot of hanah, so I don't mind having to take that shvuah. So then the Gemara says, Maskiv l'abai. Abai doesn't like this approach either. Hai calls mancha tavas ksubasa, im tavas mi baile. What do you mean as long, all the times that she claims the ksuba? It should be if she claims the ksuba. Why? Says Rashi, Hai calls mancha tavas, around 10 narrow lines down, bitmiya. Hover b'shun l'kula mai calls man. Since he's l'kula, it since he calls mine like more, he sounds like he'd be more machmir. As long as she asks for the ksuba, she has to take a shavua. It should be im tavas mi barle. Aval kol zman mashma dishamay le tanakama de pati le mishavua. It sounds like the tanakama is pati from a shavua. Afil tavas ksubasa. Vamerlein, Rabbi Shimon comes along at you to say, kol zman she tavas ksubasa lo mitiftere. That's what the implication is from these words. It doesn't sound like he's being more mekel. The words sound like he's being more machmir. So Abai doesn't like that. So what does Abai say? So El Amar Abai. Abai says, you know what? Pshat is machokas. What's Rabbi Shimon referring to? He's referring to aha, the following line, where he said, "Kasev la neder v'shua ein li alecha." He says to her, "Any neder and shua, I cannot force you to take a shua. Any yochal liashpia, he can never force her to take it. Neder v'chule, neder v'shua ein li v'lo liyarshu v'lo libayim v'brushusi alecha alech val yurashich val haban v'brushusich. I'm removing myself, my yurashin, anyone who I sell the rights to, and to you and to your yurashin, anyone you sell the rights to. Everyone is exempt from any shua here." No one is ever able to make you or your Yorshin take a shuva. Not true. Even if you make such a shuva, such a nether, such lashonos are being used, Rabbi Shimon says, whenever she claims a ksuba, both the husband and the Yorshin, and even the woman who he may have sold the rights to, can all make her take a shuva. And what's this machlokas? What's the basis of this? The kamifli, this machlokas is the very same machlokas as Pluksa de Abashal ben Ema Miriam Rabbanon. That machlokas which we saw before. What was that machlokas about again? So Rashi explains, El Amar Abaye. Abaye says, around 15 lines down, Aresha Palik, the first part of the Mishnah, the Amar Kasav lo Ned de Veshua Vechule, the Petura, Minashua, Afila Kishinevas, Minayisomim. That if you write that Lashon, she's completely exempt from taking Shavuos forever, and her Yershin as well. Vasa Rabbi Shimon Lameimer, Rabbi Shimon comes along to say, calls Mansha Tavas Ksubasa Mehen Mashminosa. No, whenever she claims the Ksuba, he's more Machmir, she is forced to take a Shavua. This is like Kabashal ben Ema Miriam de Amr Leel, Ava Ma'aseh, Shere Amru Habali Farah, Minich Seisomim, Loifra El Beshavua. Because he had another consideration. You're right, there's a Nedan Shavua between the husband and the wife that she was exempt from taking any Shavua mitzad him. But there is an outside klal that Bezin had instituted that whenever you collect from Yisomim, you must take a shvua, and he can't ignore that. Minicha Yisomim lo yifra l'mishvua. Upligi Rabban ala de Abashal, and the Rabban argue. So Rabbi Shimon and Kabashal, Rabbi Shimon holds like Abashal, even though there was that shvua and that there was that tanai in the first place, still, whenever they collect the suba from the Yisomim, Rabbi Shimon requires a shvua because anyone who collects payment from Yisomim has to take a shvua. And Chachamim thought, not the case, that's not true. If they made a shvua, they're also able to be oker, the shvua, from collecting Yisomim in general. And on this, Maskler, a papa rejects this, Hatinach calls Mansha Tavask Subasa. This makes sense when Rabbi Shimon says, anytime she collects, claims a ksuba, she has to take a shvua. Eina Tavask Subasa Maik Lamemer. So what's the question here? So Rashi explains, Hotinach calls Mansha Tavas. This makes sense whenever she claims the Ksuba Asalafuke Midirbanon. Damri Af Mishvuas Haisomim Ptura, Vinifresh Blo Shua, Vas Rabbi Shimon Lameimar Lo Tifra El Bishua. He says, Kozman, whenever she collects it, I'm against you, Rabbi Shimon, against you, Chachamim. Even when she asks for the Ksuba, you have to take a Shua. So Rabbi Shimon's line should have ended there. But when he says the continuation to say, but Kozman She Eino Tavas, what does that mean? Rashi says, "Eino tavas ksubasa de maskana devil." So the end of the statement of Rabbi Shimon, "Lemai tanai lafuki miman." What's he trying to say? Whenever they don't ask, when she doesn't ask for the ksuba, there's no shvua. What is he addressing there when he says that statement? So Ella, Amar Papa, Papa says, "Lafuke midirablazar machlokasa." What he's coming to do with that last line? Oh, sorry, he's saying a completely different pshat here. He's rejecting it. Rabbi Shimon is not referring to that line of the Mishnah about ned v'shvua. And look at this last Rashi before the Mishnah. Ela amara papa lafuke midi Rabbi Yelezer machlokoso. He's coming to exclude from that case, preclude that case. What's the machlokos there? Kolomar. Lo tamer Rabbi Shimon akasav la ned v'shvua l'chud pali. He's not only referring to that line of the Mishnah where the husband said you're exempt from any shvuas. Ela akula milsa de Rabbi Yelezer b'nei machlokoso pali. He's referring to all that discussion, aresha v'seifa. Meaning, Shmeina de kamri Rabbi Yelezer Rabbanan. We heard that they were talking about mashbia. Kozman Shirta Shivas HaPachapya. That the husband, whenever he wants, he could always make her take a shvua that you're not taking any on your own, taking any out of my property or out of my grocery store. Hey Chadal Patim Nadir Minashua, if he never gave her that exemption of shvuos. Even if she's not claiming a ksuba, he could just randomly wake up one day and say, you know what, make a shvua that you didn't take any money. Vim patim in a shvua. But if he wrote her that exemption letter, but if he wrote that exemption letter, then she's completely exempt even from the Yorshin. So in those two discussions about the ability of him to make a shvua whenever you want, that you didn't take any money, and the second point of, here's your exemption letter, on those two points comes along Rabbi Shimon to say, Rashi explains, also Rabbi Shimon lemeimar, kozman shetovas ksubasa, Yorshin mashbinosa. Whenever she collects, she wants to claim her ksuba, the Yorshin make her take a shvua. Va'filu kasala ned v'shvua in the Yorshi alecha kabashal. Even in that instance where she got that exemption letter, there's a she has to take the shvua because the other consideration of anyone who collects payment from Yisomim has to take a shvua. And also, the second part of Rabbi Shimon's statement is, eino tavas ksubasa, if she's not claiming ksuba, eino Yorshin mashbin al ha'apachopya shebechaya baila. But what the Yorshin cannot do is, if she does not ask him for ksuba, they can't just wake up one day and say, make a shvua that you didn't take any money from the apachopis, that v'afilu lo patim in a shvua, even if there was not the exemption of shvuas in general, that concept that the husband could force it to take a shua whenever he wants to about the apotropis, that does not pass down to the Yorshin. Even if the husband never wrote the exemption letter, that does not trickle down. So it comes out quite the opposite. That during the lifetime of the husband, if he didn't write the exemption letter, he can make her take a shua whenever she wants. But the Yorshin cannot. If he writes her the exemption letter, so he can't, but the Yorshin can make the take the shvua. Okay, in the end of the day, it's somewhat complicated.
The Yorshin cannot about what happened when she was alive.
Right.
They're not called Yorshin if the father's still alive.
Correct.
When we say the Yorshin can't
retain after
about,
death.
After death, right. About what happened.
Exactly.
But if Reb Shimon agrees that the husband still retains the right to make his wife make a shvua whenever he wants.
Unless he makes it, unless gives an exemption letter. Right.
An exemption. He's only disputing the exemption counts on the Yorshim about what happened back when their father was alive.
Say that again, he only
contends that, he's only disputing with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan on what the Yorshim's koach would be when the father was still alive, of making her swear. They seem to hold blanketly that they could always, if there was no exemption, the Yorshim could always make her swear on what happened.
Yeah, I see, okay. Yeah. Okay, Shkoyach.
Go ahead.
Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Not easy to talk again.
This product Subas is very